Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And in this show, we're going to fly around a bit. We're going to fly in the universe. This is going to lift you off in many ways. And I'm serious about that. I'm excited about the show. I just met one of our guests who's in town for a free showing of his new film called The Hidden Hand. Aha, The Hidden Hand. And maybe it's the hidden hand that lifts us into the air and we can fly around. But we certainly will be lifted by this conversation that we're having and move us forward. We need to move forward in new ways. And so we're going to look at some very new ways here. Very new. Actually, very old, but new understandings. Or new news. We're going to have news. Alan Steinfeld is here. Alan is always a newsman.
New realities, Peter.
He's a new realities newsman. We'll talk more about who Alan Steinfeld is. And many of you know him because he's been on my show several times already. And we also have James Carman. Welcome,
yes.
Welcome, James. You're the producer of this film?
Yes, I produced it.
And it's called The Hidden Hand. So let's get into right away what we're hinting about, which is the UFO phenomena and how nobody can really deny it anymore. You know, it's all this conspiracy theory stuff, and a lot of people don't like to talk about or even think about conspiracy theories. Heaven forbid that life shouldn't be just as ugly as we see it every day. So maybe there's hope for all of us from other worlds, about other worlds, and this is about that. This is about what's around us, and what's the latest on that, and your film is about that.
Yes, my film is it's a general overview. It's still saying that we really don't know. There's a lot that's going on, but I don't think conclusively there's anything that's been shown that actually we're benefiting from it. We're suffering from this phenomena because the extraterrestrials, as far as I can tell, they're pretty mum. They don't divulge a lot of information about what they're doing or what they want to do, except they have contact with a few individuals, and some of those contacts are positive and seem to be spiritual, uplifting, and some more negative. And you never really know it. Some people, they might be engaged in wishful thinking and thinking it's a positive experience, or some people might be just projecting a victimized consciousness on their experiences and saying, oh, these creatures are bad and negative. And it's really hard to say for sure. And the other thing that complicates everything is that, there's probably several species of aliens and ETs interacting with us at this moment. So it's, and then that you have the U.S. government that is also not saying anything and actively engaging in a disinformation program. So the waters are very muddied. And so what I'm doing is just giving an overview of everything that's going on right now.
One thing that we've done on the show, Mary Rodwell was a guest, and she works with exceptional children all around the world, and there are over 1,700 children that they work with in her group, and these are children who are very young in age, anywhere from, just born to 10 years old or something, and some actually are older than that, but for the most part, they were in the first decade of this century, and they were born then. And these are children who talk about their experiences with UFOs and with ETs, and actually even speak in other languages and write in other languages. And they are exceptional children. They're geniuses in so many ways. And they're troubled only because society is troubled about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no trouble being clear about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fascinating. This is a very consistent theme among these children about how positive and supportive this phenomena is.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's no doubt that there's something going on. I mean, your program's all about transformation, Energy Stew, where we're understanding that we are energy more than physical. And so what the ETs, the UFOs, all that is showing us that there's more to us. We're part of a bigger collective consciousness, and it's time that we wake up as humanity, that we're not the lonely bastards of an isolated accidental universe. You know, that's a little drastic, but you know, that life is not an accident, but life is an emergent property of creation, and intelligence is an emergent property of life. So here we are in a universe full of energy stew, I mean consciousness and intelligence, and now it's time that we mature as a planetary civilization and meet our other.
We are. I mean, just meeting you, Alan, is an experience.
But there's hundreds of thousands of photographs and videos and eyewitness accounts, and there's no doubt in my mind that we are being visited. Just talk to anybody who's had an experience. I've had an experience. Talk to me. But yeah, I've seen things, and I've had, you know, some kind of contact. You've had contact, Peter.
Contact in other consciousness.
Well, where's that from?
Well, exactly. I mean, but if you don't understand living multi-consciously in multi-dimensions, then it's hard to talk about it. You know, I know when my mind is feeding me, and I know when I'm being fed by other intelligences.
Well, I think that's a big part of the UFO situation, is that it's not just linear. It's not just on this level of reality, and that's why we haven't had open contact, because we're being entrained and conditioned to understand that exactly, that we are consciousness and multidimensional, just like the crop circles that we've talked about in the past. It's this encoding that we are more than we think we are that's happening, and that's when full contact and full disclosure will happen, when we realize that we are more than we've been conditioned to think we are. That's my belief.
I think also that most contact happens in an altered state. And I think the reason for this is basically reality is so malleable that the reality of the ETs is so different that we have to kind of, there has to be a bridge that's made where we can interact with each other. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's very hard to get a handle on what's going on, is because all the people that are having contact are actually having it in an altered state. And a lot of them, it doesn't translate into their everyday consciousness, because basically they can't remember.
That's a really important point, because it's not that my contact is in an altered state. It's like when you meet the other, you shift your levels of awareness, because it doesn't fit into the old framework, these beings. So you have to go beyond what you understood to be reality in order to actually have that experience, and that shifts you to a new reality, to another state of consciousness. So,
and actually our whole civilization is evolving so that we're more and more capable of our brains shifting into other dimensional awarenesses. And so many more people now actually can channel in these other beings. And you know, let's also understand that there are beings who can work telepathically, and that's what a lot of what we're talking about is. But we're also, when we tap into higher consciousness, it doesn't mean we're just tapping into ETs. Sometimes we'll tap into our higher self, our spirit guides, other spiritual masters in the universe who might want to inform us of things. And I'm always asked, who am I hearing from? And I don't try to discern it that much. I don't want to operate in a frightened state and have to have everybody show their ID and, you know, their fingerprints and have a retina study done of them, or whatever it is that you need to understand. And see, I think we live in a society too much where we need that kind of evidence versus evidence of logic and what makes sense to us, what are new, important, and valuable, heartful ideas that we receive that we hadn't heard before. And I think when we're communicating with other worlds, it's not about, you know, knowing whether this is so-and-so from what or another planet. It's what's the quality of the information we're being given. How can we use it, and what kind of support is it?
Well, I like what you're saying, because I feel like the universe is full of consciousness. And actually, this weekend is part of a weekend that's being produced by the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Science, which was started by Edgar Mitchell in order to study science and consciousness. So the Friday night will be the free film that James did, The Hidden Hand, at 310 East 67th Street. And then the following day, we're doing a whole day forum with Whitley Strieber, who's probably the number one speaker on consciousness and UFOs, and then Linda Moulton Howe, she's a frequent guest on Coast to Coast, talking about her experiences and research into crop circles and time travel and ETs. And then we're going to finish up with Richard Dolenz, who wrote a book called After Disclosure, which talks about how our culture needs to change and will change when we openly acknowledge that there are ETs here. So the whole, and then the following day we have a brunch if people want to come. If they want to check all this out, they can go to fions.org, fions.org, to look up the details of the whole weekend. And Edgar Mitchell, after returning from the moon, he was one of the Apollo astronauts that walked on the moon, had an epiphany in space, and he realized that it wasn't just the physical realm that we need to acknowledge. He went to the moon. He went as far out as you can go physically as a human being. And then he said, this has to be matched with an inner journey. So he started the Institute of Noetic Science to study the relationship between the inner and the outer, between consciousness and the environment. And this weekend is being produced by a chapter of this organization, Noetic Institute. So it's a study in exactly what you're saying. We need to expand the awareness of who we are as consciousness if we're going to embrace other beings, just physically or interdimensionally.
And so this is a place, you know, if you show up at this film, you're going to see a lot of people who appreciate this point of view, and it's nice to be around that. You know, we need to support each other and appreciate that, you know, we're dealing with a reality that we understand. A lot of people don't understand it and don't want to understand it. A lot of people, you know, can't.
Well, we've been conditioned. We've been exactly. So. I mean, as you come in as a child, we are these multi-dimensional little spaced-out little beings, like those kids that Mary Rodwell are talking. They didn't lose that connection to those other realms, but then we're conditioned by the culture to just believe that this is the only reality. And I think James's film also talks about where people have allowed themselves to know that there's more, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more, and I agree that we're trained to cut off and disregard our impressions from other realities, other dimensions, and this is a gentle reminder that we're all being pushed there to open up and become aware and more conscious.
There's a purpose that a lot of us have, and I had recently had Andrew Cohen on the show, and mm-hmm. And he's talking about that we're moving into an evolutionary imperative, mm-hmm. that we're at a time where there's no second-guessing ourselves. We just have to understand that change is needed in consciousness, and it's needed culturally on the planet, not just for our own selves. And we have to, you know, move forward in a way that encompasses progress in every way. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, I don't think he talks at all about any of this other stuff.
I've debated the Andrew Cohen people about the fact that, no, it's not about what's out there, it's about what's in here, and that's true on some level, but we also have to acknowledge that we're not isolated from a greater collective.
But they want to be practical in just, you know, our society, moving our society forward, and we have to do it from the inside. But it doesn't mean we can't be inspired and helped by beings, other beings who have a higher consciousness that we're not even familiar with.
But I think the thing is that we as a species, we're outpicturing that now. We're creating this moment where there is contact, where there is a possibility. So that our inner is our outer in that sense, and this is the moment to kind of step forward and say, okay, you know, how can we take care of our planet? But then once we do that, then how can we interact with other beings or higher consciousness or just find out what's going on?
And what you said is really struck a note with me, is the inner and the outer are becoming more one.
Right.
And that's what we have to allow. And it's time. We're not going to have a choice very soon. We're rounding the corner into 2012. And I really believe that there are going to be shifts of awareness that will be new to most people on this planet. Mm-hmm. And we're not prepared for that because the information about that is not in general dispersion.
Well, you know, a lot of people have talked about 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar. It's not really an end, but what the Mayans said is that we line up with the center of the galaxy. So what that does, nothing might happen December 21st, 2012, but it brings us into an awareness that we are more galactically centered as opposed to just part of our little solar family. So when we realize we're part of something bigger, that increases our awareness as a civilization, and that then presents new answers to old problems, you know, to get a bigger picture. So this little thing about energy, not enough energy on the planet here to fund our civilization, the cosmos is full of energy. There's this incredible energy out there, and when we get a hold of this bigger picture, new possibilities open up to human creativity. So that's another part of expanding ourselves from just our little inner box to let genius kind of come in that will move us forward, and it always has.
There's already a lot of genius on this planet, yeah, scientifically, mm-hmm, and it hasn't been exposed as much as it will be in the future, and will be also given new scientific awarenesses by these other consciousnesses, other intelligences that are already speaking to us.
Like crop circles, right? We've done,
yes,
programs on crop circles. Those,
yes,
are designs for future machines. And that's something Linda Moulton Howe will be talking about on Saturday. How these crop circles, and I don't know if I agree, but they're self-activating time machines from our brothers that are here and sisters to help us evolve. This is what these designs are in the circles.
So some of them, anyway.
Some of them.
Because they have other information that they give us.
Well, they're multidimensional information. There's more than one level that these designs are functioning,
exactly,
on. Exactly. So they're real. I've been in them. Something's happening. There weren't the locals making them. So we're being spoken to on many levels. I mean, you've talked to hundreds of people who've had some kind of experiences with UFOs. I mean,
yes, and it's amazing because it's very hard to deal with because a lot of times they are not allowed to remember what happened, and they can't process it. So it's a very strange relationship you have, and where you get parts of it fed to you back and forth as you're growing up and as you're getting older. And you have to put a handle on it somehow and try to figure out what's going on.
In a society that's resistant to handle those kinds of handles,
yes,
that, you know, just having this show, there are going to be people who just think we're just nuts and, you know, I'm not pessimistic at all about the future. I think that people who are questioning things, there's going to be a lot of disclosure in the near future that will alter people's understandings totally.
Well, they do. I just talked to the woman who produced the Phoenix Lights film, Lynn Katai, and she was a doctor, medical doctor in Phoenix, and then she had this sighting completely changed her life. She realized she was more than what she's been told, and she left medicine for a long time and devoted her life to talking about this phenomena that can't be explained. It completely shifted her out of the old reality. Just a sighting over Phoenix that probably 100,000 people saw in 1997, so called the Phoenix Lights. And really, that was part of a major, I feel, shift that the ETs are giving to us in slow increments. You know, it's like, okay, they show up here, and then they disappear for a while, and then they show up over here and there, and slowly, it won't be so weird. And so disclosure is happening over the next 100 years, really.
I think they're totally tuned in to where we're at. Mm-hmm. And managing this in a way that they understand. They also understand the time process of this and where we're going to be in a year and two and three from now and what we'll be capable of.
Yeah. I mean, anthropologically, when more evolved civilizations had shown up in less evolved cultures, that culture was completely shocked and people didn't know what to do and they were traumatized. So here is a slow revelation. Of course, some people are traumatized, as we'll see in that movie, but basically it's a slow integration period, this period of contact and disclosure. You know, contact is when the ETs show up, disclosure is when the government reveals its secrets, and they're not quite working together, but they're sort of, I think, kind of converging at the same level. Does that make sense?
I definitely think there's a convergence. I mean, yeah. I think their disclosure has already taken place, or is taking place right now. If you look, there's so many governments around the world that have, you know, released their UFO documents, and there's actually some pressure on the United States to participate.
Well,
in this.
What's interesting is that for some reason the United States is held as the real news. Mm-hmm. So no matter how many countries are revealing their UFO histories, until the U.S. does it, it doesn't exist.
Well, because we have ships. I mean, if you believe Roswell, the government went in and captured ships. Even in the 1950s, this guy, Major Donald Kehoe, was talking about how the Air Force had a program to ridicule people who would come forward and say they saw a UFO. So this kind of cover has been going back since 1947 when Roswell happened and continues. So that's why there's a sort of a giggle factor, as Michio Kaku says, about any time you mention UFOs. But, you know, if we were able to get rid of this idea, then people can start to openly talk about this without kind of this public ridicule. It's awful that it's happening.
I also think people should look at themselves and see how conditioned they are in that way and wonder, you know, are they actually free thinking, and ask themselves. I know I react like, as soon as I hear about UFOs, I'll say, oh, you must be crazy, you know, or anything. 9/11 conspiracies, any conspiracies.
Well, you know, you are crazy because it's outside our cultural norm. And anything that's outside the cultural norm is crazy to those people that are controlled.
But I would like people to question themselves about their own conditioning, to wonder if their knee-jerk reaction isn't a conditioned reaction that actually isn't true to what an honest mind might be like.
Well, I think it's interesting to look at. In a way, we're being conditioned that it is ridiculous, but on the other hand, the conditioning is very strong that it is actually there and it's real. If you look at TV
shows...
The
evidence is...
Well, no, I'm not talking about the evidence. I'm talking about media. If you look at, in the last 20 years, if you look at all the TV shows and the Hollywood productions that are talking about ETs dealing with this, it's huge. And it's like, it's being presented in a way that everyone can just make that little step across the line and say, yeah, of course.
Although some of that is fear-based.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's fear-based or not. It's positing the thesis that they're here now and that they'll be interacting with us, that there's something going on. And, of course, if it's ridiculed in mainstream media, that can be convenient for right now. But as soon as one, two, three, four people say, no, they are here, there is something going on, then it's so much easier for everyone to step over that line and say, of course, we all knew it all along. I always had that feeling.
Right.
No,
but it is interesting. We're getting a double message. We're getting the message from the kind of entertainment industry that ETs are here, and then we're getting the message from the news government team that, no, that's ridiculous. So, our psyches are caught in this kind of push-pull kind of situation where we have to then come to understand, well, what's real for me? So I think there's a slow indoctrination period through the media, through the entertainment industry, that, yes, we can open up to these other realities.
No, but there's also personal experience looking in the sky. And a lot of that, can't be denied anymore. And I think that's probably the most grounded approach to this. Mm-hmm. Between the crop circles and what's in the sky, what can you say?
Sure. I think probably 80% of the U.S. public believes that there are these ships visiting us. I mean, they closed down an airport in China last year. Over O'Hare in Chicago 2 years ago, there was a UFO just sitting there. I mean, there's these things that people have seen, and it's in the paper for a few minutes, and then it disappears, like nothing ever happened. But, I think this film, The Hidden Hand, and this whole weekend that Fions is doing is showing us that this is a story that's really not going away. It's here to stay, and all we have to do is start to embrace these concepts about what's possible.
And I think having a lot of agreement out there, more and more experts, more and more films, books, and people gathering together just to reinforce each other, and you stand there and you kind of pinch each other and go, how real are we? And it feels real. We're in agreement, and we have a reason to be.
Richard Dolan is going to be speaking on the 22nd. He wrote a book called UFOs in the National Security State, where he goes through cases from 1947 onward, how the government came in and covered up UFO crashes and UFO sightings, and it's a huge three-volume set, and he's going to be speaking exactly about this process of eventual disclosure, because it is inevitable.
Well, I think one thing that brings up, if there is a cover-up, if there has been technology that has been recovered and reverse-engineered, in a way we're seeing like a dual situation, a dual civilization on the Earth. You have the those that have the technology and the power and the know-how, that, and they're using it for their own means. And then you have all of us that are kept in the dark, and it seems like they want to keep the technology for themselves. So I think that's very interesting that you have basically two civilizations existing.
Right,
in the same
we only have a few minutes left, but I think it's a very important point, is that there is so much secrecy going on about so many things that we have no idea about, and it's frightening to see how naive the public is about unexplainable things.
But it takes a shift in consciousness. I think the aliens, whoever they are out there, they're not going to save us. We have to come to terms and heal our own planet, our own selves, in order for us to graduate to a type of open contact. So,
and we're getting there.
Well, hopefully we are.
I think we are.
Okay, good.
I think
good.
We're making a lot of progress.
I think we are, too.
and for instance, the light field is helping us, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know you've talked about the light field.
And you have a great film on interview on your New Realities TV show.
Yes.
And on your website,
newrealities.com.
Alan Steinfeld, newrealities.com.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks. It's been really fun. It's always great to come down and talk to you.
Thank you. Okay. And James Carman, the producer of The Hidden Hand, playing this Friday.
This Friday?
No, the 21st.
Oh, sorry. Next Friday. Next Friday, October 21st, 7 p.m., and it's free.
Free.
And it's 310 East 67th Street. That's at the Blood Center Auditorium.
Please come down. And then the following day, we have a whole conference with Whitley Strieber, the number one writer on the UFO phenomenon, Linda Moulton-Howe, who's an award-winning investigative reporter, and Richard Dolan. And this is going to be a whole conference on UFOs and the evolution of consciousness. And you can find out that through FIONS, FIONS.org. Please register.
I think can I add in?
Quickly.
At 6 p.m., there's actually going to be a press conference before the film, and Richard Dolan and Linda Moulton-Howe and Whitley Strieber are going to be there. And so if anyone is interested in just
coming ahead of time.
Good. Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
And I'm so glad we could do this show. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.